Eternal hell or annihilation? What forever actually says? Some verses sound like fire that never stops. Others sound like a fire that finishes the job. Both use real Greek words for eternal and destroy. Let's look at the actual texts. A question most Christians assume was already settled. Most people who grew up in church assume hell lasts forever, consciously, full stop, is simply what the Bible says, no real debate. It's worth knowing up front, this is genuinely contested among Bible-believing, historically Orthodox Christians, not just liberal theologians looking for an easier answer. Real exegetes on both sides are reading the same Greek words and reaching different conclusions. The verses that sound like unending conscious punishment. Matthew 25, verse 46. Jesus' own words, the closing line of the sheep and goats' judgment, these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The same Greek word describes both destinies, side by side, in the same sentence. Revelation 14, verse 11. The smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. They have no rest day and night. About as explicit as the Bible gets for ongoing, conscious suffering. Revelation 20, verse 10. The devil, the beast, and the false prophet will be tormented day and night, forever and ever. The most direct, never ends language in Scripture. Luke 16, verses 19 to 31. The rich man and Lazarus, the rich man in torment, fully conscious, able to speak, remember, and feel thirst after death. Whether this is a literal picture of hell or a parable making a different point is itself debated, but it's part of the case. The verses that sound like final destruction. Matthew 10, verse 28. Jesus again, a few chapters earlier in the same gospel, don't be afraid of those who kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Rather, fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in Gehenna. Destroy, not torment forever, destroy. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 9. Paul, describing the judgment of those who don't know God, they will pay the penalty, everlasting destruction from the face of the Lord. Everlasting, but the noun is destruction. Malachi 4 verse 1. The Old Testament's clearest image, the wicked will be stubble. The day that comes will burn them up, says Yahweh, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. Something that's burned up and leaves no root doesn't keep burning forever, it's gone. John 3 verse 16. The most quoted verse in the Bible sets up the contrast this whole debate turns on. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The opposite of eternal life is described as perishing, not eternal torment. Where the Greek is genuinely doing real work. Greek, aionios. Eternal, age-long, without end. This is the word behind eternal punishment in Matthew 25, verse 46, the very same word behind eternal life two words later. Traditionalists argue this settles it. If eternal life never ends, eternal punishment can't either. Same word, same sentence. Some annihilationists argue aionios can describe the result of an act rather than an ongoing process, an eternal destruction being a destruction whose effect is permanent, the way eternal redemption, Hebrews 9 verse 12, describes a completed, permanent state, not an ongoing action. Greek, apolemi. To destroy, ruin, perish, lose. This is the verb behind perish in John 3 verse 16 and destroy in Matthew 10 verse 28. Its most natural sense elsewhere in the New Testament is to bring something to an end. A wineskin that perishes, Luke 5 verse 37, doesn't exist forever in ongoing ruin, it's simply gone. The whole debate often comes down to one honest question. Does eternal describe how long the punishing lasts, or how long its result lasts? Both readings take the Greek seriously. They land in different places. Three positions held by serious, Bible-believing Christians. Traditionalist, eternal conscious torment. Hell is unending, conscious suffering for the unrepentant, taken as the historic majority position of the church across most of its history, from the early church fathers through the reformers, leans on Ionios describing an ongoing state in Matthew 25, verse 46, parallel to eternal life, plus the explicit day and night, forever and ever language in Revelation 14, verse 11 and 20:10. Annihilationist / conditionalist. The unrepentant are ultimately destroyed, ceasing to exist, rather than suffering consciously without end. Eternal punishment describes a punishment with an everlasting result, permanent non-existence, not an everlasting process. Leans on the destruction language, Matthew 10 verse 28, Malachi 4 verses 1 and 2 Thessalonians 1:9, and argues immortality is a gift given only to the redeemed, 1 Timothy 6 verse 16, who alone has immortality, not an inherent property of every human soul. Held by a meaningful minority of otherwise theologically conservative scholars and denominations, not a fringe or liberal position. Hold the tension, reading. Some serious readers decline to fully resolve it, noting both sets of texts use strong, deliberate language and choosing to affirm what both agree on. Final judgment is real, it is just, and it is a genuinely fearful thing to face without Christ. Without picking a side on the exact mechanics of how long and in what state, what every serious view agrees on. However this resolves, no historic Christian reading of these texts treats final judgment as anything other than real, serious, and worth taking with complete seriousness. This isn't a debate between hell is real and hell isn't real. Every view above affirms both a real judgment and a real Savior who rescues people from it. God so loved the world that He gave His only born Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Whichever way you read perish, the verse was written to be good news, not a threat. Examine for yourself. Read Matthew 25 verses 31 to 46, Matthew 10 verse 28, and Revelation 20 verses 10 to 15 in full context, not as isolated proof texts pulled from a debate. This is one of the heaviest questions in all of Scripture. Take it to your pastor and elders, and let it drive you toward Christ rather than toward certainty about details He hasn't chosen to make perfectly unambiguous.